Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light in the search, discovery, and revelation of light on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. Don't be shy. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Production and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, community standards. Seems like it's going to be another soapbox evening. It appears the exception has become more the rule, and our neighborhood have become a territory where rules are made to be broken. Boundaries are stretched beyond the concept, and the standard of life, like the value of life, has crashed at the stock market. Neighborhoods have become territories where victims and perpetrators of external and internal forces fall prey to ideologies that perpetuate our spiritual, ethical, moral, and physical untimely demise. What are we willing to do to save ourselves from ourselves? The fact is, rules are not made to be broken. Records are. Rules give form and security to the individual, family, community, and nation. Without rules, you have a state of anarchy, a restless, lawless, rebellious, agitated, deprived, diminished mind is incapable of giving birth to or nurturing the present, not to mention the future. We cannot move forward by moving backwards. We cannot go up if we are going down. We cannot go right if we are going left, and we cannot unite if we are against ourselves. I've heard some brothers say segregation forced us to work together. Survival under the rule of a common aggressive enemy has that effect on people. It gave birth to Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, one of the most unified and successful black communities during the tribulations of the 1900s. I think they started out in 1905. Encyclopedia Britannica says, Black Wall Street, former by name of the Greenwood neighborhood in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where in the early 20th century, African Americans had created, right? Where in the early 20th century, African Americans had created a self-sufficient, prosperous business district. Think about that, y'all. Right? Americans, they had created a self-sufficient, prosperous business district. Black businesses clustered on a strip of land that would become Greenwood in 1905 when African Americans acquired the land. Historically, African Americans worked mainly as servants in Tulsa. It's 1905, that's not too long after slavery, where they developed their own society with its own economy. Black businesses clustered on a strip of land that would become Greenwood in 1905. When African Americans acquired the land, businesses including grocery store, barbershop, doctors, and real estate agents to open their own businesses. The neighborhood also had its own newspaper and schools. I'm going to stop right there. So it sounds like some black folks, whether they were forced, you know, through racism and segregation to work together or not, got together on a common goal, right, and actually did something. So if these guys can do this back in the 1905, I think we need to think about that. We need to take a look in the mirror today and ask ourselves a question, why can't we do something? something similar to this. You know, I hear people complaining, like, you know, we have Chinatown, you know, everywhere all over the United States, but where's the black town? And, you know, they had that conversation. Well, here was one, and the story is not about what happened to, you know, because, you know, it had a tragic end. But I think more to focus on how this place even came into existence. From Bayview, they said the dollar circulated 30 to 100 times, sometimes taking a year for currency to leave that community in Greenwood, Black Wall Street. Now a dollar leaves the black community in 15 minutes. That's like as soon as we get it, we're giving it to somebody else. We don't give it to somebody who looks like you, who gives it to somebody who looks like you and trying to perpetuate an economy that supports the African-Americans. As for resources, there were PhDs designed in Little Africa. They called it also black attorneys and doctors. One doctor was Dr. Berry, who owned the bus system. His average income was $500 a day. That's a lot of money in 1910. You remember back in the day, I think a nickel was something back then. Do you think they were lawless, rebellious, agitated group of people in Tulsa? Do you think they were just these guys that just didn't have boundaries, unaccountability? Do you think they did not have a community set of community standards? What do you think? How do you think these people got to that point? Because they lived in a time when they were stringing up brothers like it was and I'm not joking, like it was a community event. Do you think they didn't have hard times back then? Because, I mean, a lot of people might be saying how hard it is. And you think these people didn't have a hard time back then? Let's talk about a little bit about hard times about back in those days, which were not so long ago days. The Negro Holocaust, lynching and race riots in the United States from 1880 to 1950, according to Robert A. Gibson. According to the Tuskegee Institute figures, between the years 1882 and 1951, 4,730 people were lynched in the United States, 3,437 Negro, and 1,293 white. That's not an accurate number because we, as we know, we don't, you know, they were not able to get the count on everybody that got lynched, you know. But this is the one that they could account for. The largest number of lynchings occurred in 1892. Of the 230 persons lynched that year, 161 were Negroes and 69 white. That sound familiar in terms of disproportionate? Not that anybody should be lynched. So they say Negroes were never more than 19% of the population, according to InfoPlease. In 1950, they were 15.7% of the population. By 1900, they say they were 11.6% of the population. That's a hell of a drop. Considering we are 12 to 13% of the population now, that's a lot of Negroes being lynched. I think the term is disproportionate number of Negroes being lynched. Anyway, contrary to present-day popular conception, he says, lynching was not a crime committed exclusively against black people. Neither is police brutality, but that doesn't change the fact that they are disproportionately targeted and murdered. He said during the 19th century, a significant minority of the lynching victims were white. Between the 1830s and 1850s, the majority of those lynched in the United States were white, although a substantial number of white people were victims of this crime. The vast majority of those lynched by the 1890s and after the turn of the century were black people. Okay? It was disproportionate even when they were doing it before that. Actually, the pattern of almost exclusively lynching of Negroes was set during the Reconstruction period. According to the Tuskegee Institute statistics for the period covered in this study, the total number of black lynching victims was more than 2.5 times as many as the number of white put to death by lynching. So a lot of black folks dying, having it hard back then. That's when they was calling an 80-year-old man boy. So, but a lot of brothers were dying back then. And those lynchings were like community events. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not joking. Hundreds of people might have watched that. So, I mean, in terms of killing black people, we got that covered. Right? We seem to have that covered. According to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report data for 2016, 90.1% of black victims of homicide were killed by other blacks. That was a hell of a jump. How'd that thing jump like that? Anyway, do we need to separate from our own people to develop, perpetuate community standards that will be adhered to, that we will listen to, that we will abide by, that we will reinforce in the community together? It's a thought, because you can only save a person from drowning if that person is willing to be saved. If that person is flailing erratically, pulling on you, and does not listen and obey your instructions while you're attempting to save him or her from drowning, you could drown too. Or you will go into self-preservation mode and save yourself. This is a question. What do we need to do? What needs to happen for us to start this? Because that's all we get is Tulsa, and I think we had a Black Wall Street in North Carolina. And then we had Rosewood that I heard of. But where are those places now? Are we fearful of each other? Do some of us lack credibility, responsibility, accountability? Do some of us feel that some of us are not worth the risk of engaging? And what's the problem here? Like, what are the walls that are separating us, preventing us, impairing our ability to work together for our own benefit? What will it take for us to stand for us, for the betterment, uplifting, and edification of our people? What is it going to take? Community standards should be a reflection of individual standards, family standards, and cultural standards. These standards should serve the purpose of edifying, improving the morality and intellect of community members as well as those who interact with the community. There's a saying I like to say that people should benefit from your good living. You know, so if you live well, then people will benefit from that. But if you don't live well, then people will suffer as a result of your negative energy, just to put it shortly, bluntly. So if you live well, people can grow. They can learn how to survive, how to present themselves, how to deal with conflict. You know, they can develop, as I said, you know, standards of life that will, you know, maybe counteract some of the other standards that have been created in the community, because we need standards. We need boundaries. The ocean has a boundary. When the ocean comes over its boundary, what happens? We have flooding. Even worse, we have tidal waves, things like that. So everything has a boundary. And we need to seriously think about creating some boundaries in the community that will uplift our people individually and collectively. So what I did was I took the time just to brainstorm some things and really, you know, some community standards, I call them. And I'm just going to go over a couple of them with you. Anybody have anything to add to this, please feel free to call in or comment on the page on the website. Share it with your friend on your emails and talk about this. We need to start opening up conversations about what are we going to do, because we are capable of doing something. Okay? So, anyway, we need to develop a community organization that meets to discuss, develop community standards for the uplifting, safety, nurturing of the community members. We need to create, perpetuate, and adhere to a standard of living in our community that decreases risk, builds self-esteem, provides support and guidance, and provides social order and respect for each other. Now, I think I don't think there's too many people who would disagree with being respected and being building self-esteem without putting people at risk. Right? Because we want positive ways of building self-esteem. We don't want people to suffer for other people to feel good about themselves. That's not the way. We need to create a moral, ethical bar and raise it high enough to raise our people from the restriction and corruption of the grave to be perpendicular and erected from our present diminished state of being. Gotta raise the bar. If we have a bar now, we need to raise it. If we don't have a bar, we need to create one. These standards should promote unity, education, spiritual growth, recreation, arts, health, and safety. Now, you don't need $1 million to tell encourage people to go to school. You need money to get school supplies and things like that. We understand that. But this is a start. Master what's in front of you first. Master mathematics, the mathematics that they give you. I've seen it. It's worthy of mastering. Master the English language. If you take Spanish, learn it. It's a job of being an interpreter. We have a large Hispanic community in the United States. Anyway, develop strong family community value. All seeds must be knowledgeable and nurtured into being a responsible person. All seeds must be knowledgeable and nurtured into being a responsible person. Value these attributes. Honesty. Being trustworthy. Being kind. Being respectful. Courteous. Humble. Strong. Mentally and physically. Educated. Formally and informally. Dedicated. Loyal. Protective. Caring. Helpful. Cleanliness. And more. They should include, but are not limited to, the strong shall protect and nurture the weak, and the weak shall become strong. We need to eliminate the predatory mentality in our community. This mentality right here will raise the community up. Your grandmother can walk home. Your children can walk home in the community and be safe, feel safe. We need to practice collective economics. They say the black dollar stays in the community about 6 hours. Somebody else said 6 hours. That's a little longer than the other report from info people. We can do better than that. We will support black businesses and entrepreneurship. In turn, black businesses and entrepreneurships will support the black community. We will create economic advantages for both consumer and businesses. That's food for thought. We got a caller already. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello. Okay.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm just listening into your topic tonight, and it's making me think of the neighborhood that I live in. And it's a group of us that we communicate a lot on Facebook through our neighborhood posts. And the one of the main block captains, she's very vocal. And all the things that you're talking about, like with the community, like there's a lot of people that they like to buy up houses, and they're posting signs all through our neighborhood trying to get people to sell their homes. And, you know, she's trying to advocate that, you know, we're homeowners, we're staying here, nobody's going to buy us out. And the neighborhood, they have people that will, when they see these signs posted up on trees and telephone poles, they'll go around and they cut them all down throughout the whole community, because, you know, they're not trying to get people to sell their homes to these, you know, home, whatever they call themselves, you know, they want to just buy up neighborhoods. And it just, everything that you're talking about just makes me think of this group that I belong to, you know, for my community. And also another one, like a pet peeve I have in my community is like dumping, like trash dumping. And it, you know, it just brings your self-esteem down when you see people in the middle of the night, they come and they dump a load of junk in your neighborhood. You have people who don't care about, you know, what they drop in trash out their car windows. They walk by, they drop their trash out of their pockets or whatever they're eating. And it really does, it has an effect on, you know, people with, you know, how they feel that other people don't care about the way you live, and they are just trying to, you know, make everything like a mess. They don't care. So that's just my thoughts on, just as you were talking, it just made me think about the neighborhood that I live in.
Okay, we appreciate your comment. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, thanks.
Okay, anybody listening, if you dump trash out in the neighborhood, is a proper place, a method to get rid of your trash. Nothing wrong with that. Another thing, stop blaming everything on the man. It is what it is. We have to deal with the issues from where we are presently. The man isn't our only problem. Stop waiting for people to save you from you. Remember, Harriet Tubman, she did not let the man stop her. Rosa Parks didn't give up her seat. And the Black Panther Party chose to do something about the unacceptable conditions in the black community. Do something. Love yourself. Who you are. What you are. Reject ideologies that perpetuate self-hate and degradation. respect yourself. If you do not respect yourself, others may not respect you. If you do not love and respect yourself, you open the Pandora's box of degradation and self-exploitation. If you demonize yourself, someone will seek to destroy the demon. Fear as a weapon does not become your shield, but your Achilles heel. Okay? You can't become a monster in the community, a threat, and think that that's going to be your shield. That's going to bring death to you. Death brings death. Respect your neighbor. You do not have the right to violate your neighbors because you are grown or an adult, as people say. You feel you do what you want to do? In fact, it's just the opposite. The expectation is that adults be accountable for their behavior. Obey laws. Model respectable behavior. The sandbox mentality must be eradicated if the community is to grow, change, and survive. All that I'm grown, I do what I want to do, think that's not an adult attitude. Not when it comes to certain things. Yes, you are grown. You make your own decisions. True. But we expect adults to make logical decisions, rational decisions. Create positive role models for children and youth. It's very important. Because this is how communities are poisoned through the generations. The perpetuation of behavioral standards that lack moral and ethical fiber, boundaries, esteem, quality of life-changing attributes is ethnocide, self-perpetuated genocide. We cannot live in an environment that perpetuates death and destruction. That's no way to live. And I'm not just talking about death by, you know, somebody shooting you or anything like that. You have all kinds of death. Spiritual death. So, killing the mind. Create positive outlets for youth and adults in and outside of the community. Bus trips, sporting events, educational trips, entertainment, community talent, and professional talent. I mean, there's a lot of talent people in the community. They don't get hurt. Everybody's not famous. But we have a lot of people that we could share, you know, talent right in the community. Why not? Why not develop that as a community event? Communication. Welcome new members into the community. Review the community standards and expectations with new residents. Now, I really like this one because it sets the tone for the community. Invite them to community meetings. Address community issues at these meetings. Someone told me life is full of complications, but communication is the key. I think I got a plaque with that on there. That's how they told it to me. Send me a plaque. You have to communicate. Things are complicated in life, but you should always communicate. Share these community standards with realtors, contractors, and landlords that they may present them to potential buyers and renters. So let the people know this is the kind of type of environment you're moving into. You know? We expect you to keep your place clean. Don't throw trash up and down the street. Don't dump trash in the neighborhood. You know, things like that. Respect other people's property. Things like that. I don't think they should have a problem with that. For persons, if asked to turn your music down, or turn the noise outside down a little bit, right? Be considerate and real about it. Turn it down. That's why block parties are something that the community should be in agreement with. Because it's going to be noisy. It's going to be, you know, the noise level is going to rise. But you don't know. Somebody might have to work. They need to go to sleep. You playing loud. The music is exceptionally loud. They can't sleep. Somebody sick on the block. You banging up music, you know, or you coming in the neighborhood with it. Because they have some extraordinary loud music that comes from, even from a car. So, you know, it's like you can't even hear yourself think sometimes. So anyway, you should be considerate. You know, there's a place for that. Establish guidelines for the hour of the day to play loud music and how loud the music should be. Excessive noise levels and profanity should not be acceptable. Respect yourself and your neighbor. Come on now, we don't need to be gathering out there, cussing and fussing, loud music and, you know, things like that. Come on. We don't need that. That's a poor example for our children. For young adults. Property. The destruction of property for any reason is a criminal offense. Riding on, destroying, sitting on cars are unacceptable. If it's not your car, don't sit on it. People don't want you sitting on the cars. These little cheap cars they make now. You put dents in them, you scratch the car up. That's a lot of money to get it. I think it's like $500, $800 for a fender. To get repaired. Don't do that. You know, have respect for people's property. Be mindful of what you're doing. Unwanted loitering on others' property, steps, cars, unacceptable. All right? You have a house, step, take your crew there, go to the places where people are allowed to gather, like playgrounds, schoolyards, and stuff like that. And, you know, don't just take it upon yourself to hold a meeting on somebody's step. Congregating on the property of others is trespassing. Take your social gathering to the steps of one of your group's members or to a public gathering location. I just said that. Overt use of profanity and vulgar communication should be prohibited. At least unacceptable, especially in the presence of the elderly, children, parents, females, and community members. Be discreet if you must. If you must use profanity, be discreet about it. You know, because I can't just say I don't cuss, because people cuss. But be discreet about it. Be mindful of who might be hearing this, you know, the language and things like that. Traveling. Be courteous when traveling in automobiles, motor vehicles, bikes, and walking. Stop at the stop sign, the red light. Yield to pedestrians. A lot of people don't even yield to pedestrians. You get out there, it's your light. Somebody wants to turn the corner, you may lose your life. Come on. Learn to obey these rules. Rules are there for a reason. Rules are not made to be broken. They are there to keep people safe. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, rules. These type of rules. Yield to pedestrians. Look both ways, you know, before you cross the street, before you turn, before you accelerate. Take a look, because somebody might be crossing the street. So be courteous, you know. Don't try to take up the sidewalk. Don't be afraid to move out of somebody's way. It's okay if both of you do it at the same time. It's okay. It's not an affront to your self-esteem, your manhood, or how tough you are. Being courteous is better than being tough, in my opinion. You know, being rude. Courteous, rude. Courteous, rude. Which person would you invite to your house? The courteous guy or the rude guy? Which community would you like to live in? Community of courteous people or community of people who are rude? Do not drive, ride, or walk into traffic. If you value your life, don't. You wouldn't do that. If you value somebody else's life, you wouldn't do that. Stand and travel at safe distances from traffic and pedestrians. Drive safely. Running stop signs, speeding, driving under the influence as those are no-nos. Health, marijuana use, and exposure cannot be restricted to a particular area when used. Limit marijuana use to places where people who choose not to be exposed to it will not be exposed to it. Be mindful. Okay? Some people have jobs where they get tested. And that marijuana stays in you, it can stay with you for a month. Places like in your home, not next door to a neighbor or in the presence of a child. Secondhand marijuana smoke and cigarette smoke is harmful. So, right now, smoking marijuana is illegal. But I'm saying, forget all of that. People smoke a lot of pot here, so I get that. How about you be mindful of where you're smoking it? Now, that's not something you need to walk down the street smoking, because the aroma and the smoke is what gets you high, so that means anybody else is getting it with that contact high. And that's not fair to other people. That's what I'm saying about that. Safety. Barbecue pits on porches or fire hazards. The smoke from the pits create health hazards also. Fireworks should be used by responsible persons in a designated area, not on a curb or in the middle of the street. I think it was at the 4th of July. I saw somebody had some kind of fireworks. It took like 3 minutes for all the sparks to finish and rockets or whatever it was going off. It was right in the middle of the street. You know, the bus traffic had to stop and everything and wait for these persons to... I don't know who made it legal to use fireworks in the city, but we live too close to use fireworks in the city. That was a bad idea, because they should have... I don't know what was with that law, but maybe it says something like you need to be in a certain type of area for that, because on a curb or in the middle of the street is no place for fireworks unless... That's a designated area to do that. People have cars there. People are walking by there. People are driving by there. That makes that a high-risk area. So I don't know what happened. Curb your dog. You do not have the right to leave dog species on the property of others or in public places. Come on, y'all. You don't have the right to do that. Keep your dog on a leash. That's the law. It is a potentially dangerous situation for your dog, you, and the community. Depends on what kind of dog you have. I saw a dog run off a porch. Guy walking down the street with three of them little dogs. You hold in your arm like little dog. You can hold all three of them in your arm. They're that small. You probably can hold them in his arm. You probably can hold all three of those dogs. But they happen to be walking down the street. A pit bull ran off the porch, snatched one of that guy's dogs up. Now, I think he had his dog on leash. So, refrain from spitting on the curb, urinating in public. Somebody walk by your house, they hockey bitch. Come on now. Urinating on somebody's house, somebody's car, or something like that, school wall, something like that. Come on. I don't see a lot of urinating in public, but then I'm not even out there like that. But I do see people spitting, dropping trash right in front of people's houses. That's not a good look. Place trash. Let me talk about trash. In the trash can. Or keep trash with you after leaving the store until you can properly dispose of it. Do not dump trash on the streets. Can't blame that on the man. We were just talking about that the other day on the corner. Can't blame that you throw some trash on the street. You can't blame that on the man. Clean your street. Schedule neighborhood cleanup day. That's a community effort, block effort, whatever. Do something. The use of weapons, especially indiscriminately, to solve disputes, is a threat to all in the community. Murder is unacceptable. Enough assaults and murders in our community. No more sensationalizing glamorizing, normalizing, idealizing murder. If we must die, let it be for a cause, not just because. Deglamorize negative rebellious behavior. Eradicate or minimize threatening high-risk behavior. Illicit behavior is a threat to all in the community. Develop a plan of addressing it with community members, leaders, law enforcement, and the political representatives. Terroristic threats are a violation of the criminal code. Treat it that way. Traumatize and or criminalize individuals do not get a pass to make our neighborhoods chaotic and unsafe. The community needs to stand behind the men who stand for something, peace and unity, and encourage those who do not stand for something to find a just cause. All right, we're not talking about crushing these guys' heads. We're talking about leading them into the light. Okay? De-escalation and mediation tactics should be utilized when appropriate. Violence is used as a last resort in self-defense. Self-policing. Preserve the right to defend yourself against the enemy within and outside of the community. The men and women in the community need to stand for something to defend the community against rogue members within the community and outsiders. Keep undesirable elements out of the community. These men should be supported by the community, law enforcement, and the political establishment. Keeping undesirable elements does not mean running somebody out of the community. It means helping that person make that change. All right? Because when people come into the community, you have your standards for how you want to live in that community. We don't want to be running around shooting each other and disrespecting each other in the community. I don't think there's anything wrong with that and making it known to people who are interested in moving into the community. Teach community members how to defend themselves mentally, emotionally, physically, politically, economically, socially, legally, and spiritually, morally, and ethically. Develop a town watch organization. It is sad but necessary when our enemy lives. Our enemy lives in the same house, block, or community as we do. The need for a town watch organization is indicative of a community that is out of control or does not want to become out of control. Unfortunately, many of our communities are out of control. If we don't make a decision, decisions will be made for us, and you will not like them. We must hold law enforcement responsible for unwarranted violation of our civil and human rights, aggressive assault, and murder of anyone in our community. We must hold community members responsible for unwarranted violation of our civil and human rights, aggression, assault, and murder of anyone in our community. Save the children. Guide the steps of the children in the community away from anti-life ideologies that perpetuate death and destruction. End the cycle of death. Stop blaming everything on the man. Take responsibility for the negative things you do. Accept the consequences of what you do. Grow and change as a result of your life experiences and in spite of the negative influences wherever they come from. Disregarding these nuisance and high-risk behavior standards may result in you being confronted by police if necessary, depending on the degree or severity of behavior violation of the criminal code. This may result in community advocacy, mediation, receiving warnings, fines, summons, charges filed, arrest, and sentence. Police interaction would be pursued if all other steps have been taken to no avail. Disregarding the need to uplift the community will perpetuate our destruction and untimely mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual demise. Take what is negative energy and convert it into positive energy. All this carnage, misery, devastation would not have been completely for nothing. You can turn it around, and your contribution is more than needed. Act now. I have a poem, short poem, from the poet Noor. I borrowed. It's called Save Our Land. It says, we can no longer turn our heads while senior citizens are wrestled to the ground, beaten and robbed by some hero. We can no longer turn our heads while the house across the street is burglarized by a group of commandos. We can no longer turn our heads while our sisters are taken and forced into submission by some terrorists. We can no longer turn our heads while our brothers are shot and knifed in the street by some mad assassin. We can no longer turn our heads while brothers and sisters continue to cop out on dope distributed around the corner by some kamikaze. We can no longer turn our heads while we become accidents at a rising increase at the hands of our own so-called guardian. We can no longer remain apathetic to the disease of our community only to withdraw into our homemade prisons for sanctuary until we are stricken by the plague of our community. The poet Noor. So that's a do something poem. We need a change. And it doesn't take a genius or a PhD to see that. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody making a change for the better. I'm talking about people who are completely negative in the community. Y'all need to change. Y'all need to do something different. Y'all need to turn the thing around that you do and make something positive, that you have the ability to do that. Right? People who are not about negativity need to help some other people in the community and come up. Because everybody deserves, anybody could use a hand. So, remember, these are some terms that I just grabbed. I'm sure there's a whole lot more than these, but these are the ones I can remember. You know, while we're just out there, you know, keep in mind, I think Ice Cube said this, check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? We don't want nothing to happen to nobody, anything, anybody. You're headed for self-destruction. I think there's a whole bunch of New York rappers that, you know, had a whole rap song about the behaviors they were observing people subscribe to and what it would lead to. I mean, this whole topic tonight is not even a new topic. It's nothing profound about what I'm talking about. It's just the fact that we're still here. You know what I'm saying? Like, our self-destruction, I think that thing is, that might be 20 years old. I don't even know. But it's old. You know, so we're still here. That means we're not growing. We're not changing. We're not learning from our experiences. We are continuing perpetuating the madness. If you're not a part of the problem, and you should know, if you're not a part of the solution, you are a part of the problem. I'm not sure. I think Malcolm X might have said that. You know, come on. We all need to get together and find a better way to do this. I'm sure we can help some of these brothers on the street. Some of these brothers on the street can help some of the people in the community. Y'all can help these young boys that's watching. The younger guys. There's some pretty young guys out there. Help these guys make a change. think the Black Panthers said learn, baby, learn. They went from burn, baby, burn to learn, baby, learn. Like, as I said previously, master the education that's in front of you. Master it. I mean, if the education is, you know, demand that you that if the teacher not teaching, cause I've heard that students saying that they in class, the teacher ain't doing nothing, just kicking his foot up, reading the newspaper or something. I don't know, not doing much of nothing. Demand that your child is educated, that they get the education that's in front of them. Each one reach one, each one teach one. I use that on my show sometimes. I think that came from, I think I heard that Louis Farrakhan. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Now, that could be, that only means one thing, number one. It's a positive thing. Each one reach out your hand and teach somebody something. Give them something that'll help them, that'll uplift them. That's what that's about. That'll help them get to the next point. Nothing wrong with that. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Better to die for a cause than to die just because. I don't know. I think that came from the last poet. I don't know if you guys ever heard of the last poets, but I suggest that if you get the time, look them up and listen to they're very poetic, but they're very political and socially aware. Better to die for a cause than to die just because. We are dying at an alarming rate, and, you know, at the rate of people die in warfare. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's a war. The numbers are warlike, but there's nothing being gained from it. At least in war, somebody's going to win or lose. This situation of all this dying that we are experiencing, it's just dead body. We're not gaining anything from that. And I think this came from Malcolm X also. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. I believe that came from Malcolm X. And that's simple. These very simple things, you know, and that speaks to raising the bar, the ethical standard bar in the community. We can do better than this. We just gotta want to. You know, I'm saying, you know, I don't know what it is we need to do to get to that point. Do some of us need to move in certain areas? You know, create that community by moving. You know, or can you reach out to people in the community? Kind of like have that communication, as we say. Life's full of complications, but communication is the key. Can we communicate with each other to make change? Because if we can't, we have a problem. And how long do we have to, you know, live with this problem, with this disease in our community of self-destruction? So my message, for any of those, any of the people listening, is to do something. Do something. Do it now. Because we're bleeding profusely in our community, mentally, physically, and spiritually. I want to thank everybody for listening in today. And please, if you're tuned in tonight, do something.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew, to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.